Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Radio 1 production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
So let's step forward together. Ka hoake tono tātou. Let's keep moving.
I cherish the idea of a new South Africa.
Will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream.
Aight, listen, why do we need politics? This question seems like $1 million, but isn't really. We need politics for two simple reasons. One, we're the future and we need to represent ourselves and the country in a better light. And two, because it's fun, it's interesting, and it's important. This is Aniket and I host the evening show on 94.3 Radio 1. And me, along with Fabian Sir, getting you Politics for Dummies, where we understand politics then and now. We understand politics right and left. So, what are you waiting for? Put on your headphones and strap on, because you are going to have a ride of your life. Welcome. Joining us today is Mr. Fabian. This is a brand new episode for Politics for Dummies. And from his own apartment, joining us is Professor Fabian. And from my apartment, it's me. Now, the beauty of internet is that, wherever you are, you can connect with your teacher and learn a couple of things. And today I had this urge to learn about democracy, because at this point of time, since everybody is locked at our own apartments, and if we are living with people, we got to figure out our chores. We got to figure out our responsibilities. And how do we do that? We do that democratically. Everybody gets a say in it. And that's a very basic, a very ground level, root level democratic experience that we have. But democracy as a whole is huge. It's big. So let's jump into this, welcoming a Professor Fabian. Mr. Fabian, how are you doing on this beautiful day?
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm sitting at home because of, near lockdown conditions.
All right. We all are sitting at homes, and we should do that. We should absolutely follow all rules and regulations, because they are for us. Now, in today's episode, we're trying to learn about democracy. So Abraham Lincoln said it very beautifully: of the people, for the people, by the people. This is what democracy is. Did I paraphrase it? Did I say it right, Fabian?
You said it right. Only thing is that, you know, the people cannot rule themselves. They need to elect representatives. So it cannot be by the people. Except, you know, they get a chance once in 5 years or 4 years to vote.
Yeah.
You see? So Lincoln's was rather idealistic, but it is very, you know, he used it in his famous Gettysburg speech. It was one of the most eloquent speeches. But in political theory, it's not the best definition.
Okay. So that is what it is. We learn something new every single day. So Fabian, what exactly is democracy? Not going by the textbook definition, if we have to explain someone, I mean, it would be redundant to explain someone democracy at this point of time. But if still we had to explain someone democracy today, how do we explain it to them?
Okay. Let's look at it etymologically, historically.
All right.
The word comes from, you know, it comes from Greek. Demos in Greek means people. Kratia, it means rule, to rule. So that is the etymological origin of democracy in Greece sometime in the 6th century. But I want to add that there were democratic societies in India during Buddha's time, again, true. 6th century.
True.
And it is important to recognize that while the origins of democracy are generally attributed to Greece, which is not incorrect, but we should also recognize that in ancient India, when the Buddhists met, you know, they had elaborate rules of procedure, you know, how the discussions will be, what shall I say, regulated, which is again necessary for a democracy.
Yeah.
So there are democratic traditions both in Greece and also in ancient India.
All right. All right. So this is something that we learn new every single time we sit with Fabian. And this is nice. So we got what exactly is democracy. We get a little bit of history of democracy as well. Now, although this word has been thrown around left, right and center throughout media, throughout times, especially in the last couple of years, whether it's the American media, the Russian media, the Indian media, the Chinese media, what is the state of democracy when we compare it in the West and in the East?
Well, the West claims to be always democratic, but mm-hmm. you take the European Union, you look at Hungary, where the judiciary is not free, or Poland, where okay. the judiciary is not free. So even in the European Union, which is the alliance of democracies, the biggest alliance, there are non-democratic, undemocratic attributes.
Oh, this is nice. This is absolutely nice. This is something that we had no idea about. So the people who gave us democracy, what is the situation of them at this point of time?
Well, are you talking about the United Kingdom or the West in general?
Just the West in general. I mean, I don't want to go into specific details about the United Kingdom because we all know what their situation is like. But the West in general, what is their situation when it comes to democracy?
Well, West in general has some of the best democracies. But at the same time, let us not forget that in the United States, democracy was in danger.
Mm-hmm.
When on the 6th of January, some people tried to attack the Congress.
True.
The Congress, which was, finalizing the matter as to who won the election, which was yeah. held in November.
Yeah. True.
People attacked and the representatives, they had to run for their lives. So, democracy was under attack as recently as this year in the United States.
Very true. Very true. So, I mean, is democracy the perfect form of ruling, or it's the closest form of perfection to ruling?
I'll put it this way. I will quote Winston Churchill. Well, it may not be perfect, but it is better than all others.
Ah, very beautiful. Very beautiful. All right. Moving on, we got to understand this, and this is coming from a very concerned citizen's point of view. Now, we see and we read about, so it all started with the Hong Kong protest that we started seeing in 2019. It was like the largest protest where the mainland was trying to take over Hong Kong. There were so many details that kept on baffling the other world media. So let's talk about China once again, because eventually we find China being at the not so center of everybody's decision-making process. So will China ever become a democracy? Because on paper, it says that it's a democracy, but it has a single party ruling system. The rules are archaic. They keep on banning things left, right, and center. A lot of people are not supposed to say this, not supposed to say that. There is a constant surveillance. So is this democracy, or will China ever become a democracy? Ever?
Thank you. First of all, China is not a democracy. It is what I may call a party autocracy. Single party, and the party controls the state. Okay. And if you look at Xi Jinping, President Xi Jinping, he is president of China, but he is also chairing the military command. And he is head of the party, Communist Party of China.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he has concentrated, what shall I say, all the powers in him. Now, That's not democracy. Elections are not there. They go through something, but, you know, it's all managed. Okay? The media are not free. So China is not a democracy. Will it ever become a democracy? All that I can say is that People's Republic of China, look at the first word, People's Republic of China, it was established in 1949, but it has not moved anywhere closer to democracy after that. There was Mao Zedong. Then, of course, there were some rulers who were, you know, less autocratic. But currently, Xi Jinping is very, very autocratic. So as of now, no prospects. But, you know, you should never say never in political theory as to what might happen tomorrow, day after. We don't know.
True. Very true. So understanding China, understanding United States, understanding India is a very important part of politics, because if we have our fundamentals straight, things become way easier for us to grasp. Now, moving on, we've got so much to ask and so little time to discuss. Professor, in this after class, let's talk a little bit about Myanmar, because we kind of said that we were going to discuss about this in the last episode. This has become a very important thing internationally. They say that there was something that happened. Now there is a different story situation that is going on in Myanmar. And then it just progresses and unfolds every single day. So let's go from the start. What happened in the beginning of the year till about now in Myanmar?
Well, in Myanmar, there was an election in November 2020. And the new parliament was supposed to meet on the 1st of February 2021. The military party, the military has a party, a political party. Mm-hmm. It fared very poorly in the election. It complained that the election was not fair. And the election commission went into the matter and rejected that complaint. And when on the 1st of February, the new parliament was to meet. The military carried out a coup. It arrested Aung San Suu Kyi and other leaders. And ever since, the people of Myanmar have stood up to the military regime. Well, probably more than 700 human beings have been killed. But the military remains still in power. The Security Council has hardly done anything. And you know why? Because China and Russia are supporting the military.
All right. So once again, there are external forces at this point of time acting and destabilizing a democratic state. Does this happen quite often in the world? Of course, we know about Russia's involvement in the democratic process of voting in the United States of America, but otherwise too. Does this keep on happening all the given time? Do people just interfere and do not keep their noses to themselves?
Well, as I had said earlier once, America tries to interfere in other people's election. And now, don't forget that Israel interferes in American elections much more brazenly than does Russia. But nobody complains. So I don't think we should make too much of this interference. That will be there. Somebody will try to get into your social media and spread things. Let us deal with it. That's all.
All right. Let's buckle up, pull up our socks and deal with it. Let's talk about India, the largest democracy. How have we survived in this democratic, because I know for a fact that I've learned my history, although this is politics that I'm learning from you, that we were ruled by Rajas and Maharajas of generations, like that happened. India as a place was always constantly ruled by someone or the other. You know, it was the Mughals, it was the British, and now after getting our freedom, we became a democratic state. So India is a democracy. What do you have to say about this?
Well, let me start with an actual conversation I had way back in Rome in the year 2000. I was attending some National Day party. The ambassadors of Pakistan and Bangladesh, they buttonholed me. So yeah, the three of us were in a corner. And they said they had to ask me a common question. How come that you in India have managed to keep your democracy? So I said, are you trying to ask me how come that the Indian military has not taken over India government? Yes, they said, yes. I said, well, first of all, Indian democracy is strong, so mm-hmm. nobody will dare to take it over. And if I may add, the Indian military thinks very sensibly. It knows that its business is to defend India's borders, not to run India. Mm-hmm. You know, so that is why India had no problem with the military takeover. Now, also, don't forget that, you know, in 1950, we declared, we had a constitution which gave universal franchise. Don't forget that many countries, women did not have the right to vote. So India sort of, you know, was a pioneer. We all can be proud of that.
All right. All right. That absolute makes sense. That absolute makes sense. All right. Now, coming to the last question, and we can wrap the democracy episode today here because this has been absolutely fantastic. There's so much to learn out there. This was like a small crash course. How to make any democracy stronger? Is it transparency? Is it stronger leaders? Is it being more vocal about our issues and finding solutions? Or is it active involvement? What can we do to make democracy stronger?
Okay, I will make only 2 points. One is that democracy implies intelligent citizenship. That is, citizens should be alert and they should vote intelligently. They should not be brainwashed by anyone. Second point, it is one of the foundations of democracy. What Montesquieu, the French philosopher, said, that is, there should be separation of powers between the executive, what we call the government, mm-hmm. the judiciary, you know, the Supreme Court, High Court, and all that, and the parliament. These three, you know, pillars of the state have to keep an eye on each other, especially the judiciary, especially the parliament, because it is the executive that has the powers. So the executive has to be properly monitored, checked, and corrected when necessary by the other two.
All right. All right. That's what we learned today. That's exactly what we learned today. Democracy. So always take participation in the democracy. Let's put a small example here. If there is a democratic decision that is supposed to be made in your house on what food you're supposed to eat, and your father and your sister participates and you refuse to participate, your mother finally cooks a dish, you cannot complain about the dish. If you would have participated, you could have said what you wanted, and maybe the outcome would have been probably different because you participated and you got what you needed. And that's how democracy works. Thank you so much, Fabian, for being a part of the show once again. I mean, of course, he is the part of the show. What I'm saying, why I'm thanking him for being a part of the show. It's literally Fabian and me on the show. Thank you so much. And once again, guys, follow us on HT Smartcast. If you have any topic that you want us to discuss on Politics for Dummies, let us know. Fabian, you stay safe. Yeah, we really, really want you and your knowledge. Yeah.
Thank you, Aniket. Just one last point.
Yes.
We also need a free media. Without the freedom of the media, there cannot be democracy.
True. That's like the latest development. That's like the latest necessity. Free media, free social media, and criticism. That is something that makes up democracy. Thank you so much, Fabian, once again. We'll see you next week with a brand new episode. Let us know what topic to discuss. And we shall do that. See you guys. This is Aniket signing off along with Fabian until the next episode.
This was a Radio 1 production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.